Heyo, welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike, go on the Twitters. And there's everybody's favorite television star, Cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man. I'm just flipping through the tube, and look who I saw.
There I am.
On the Paul Feinbaum show. So we'll be posting that interview as soon as this is over. But it never ceases to amaze me to see Paul Feinbaum and Cousin Shane on the same screen at the same time.
I'm starting to think they were expecting a different Shane because it was like too late now, right? 5 minutes before we go on, this guy pops up. So I figured they were getting to the bottom of their list, Mike. But had a good time with Paul. He hit me with a Stephen gets me in trouble everywhere I go. You know, I'm telling you what, I'm going to have to have a stern talking to that young man, because all his list, I catch more strays from his list than I do anything that Mike puts out. So, but no, we had a great time, and we talked about the media days coming up. We talked about 4th of July, 250 years, big 4th of July. And also, Mike, this is the last month. We're in the month of July. Last month, there will not be any football on our TV. So that's how close we are to have some SEC, real SEC football in our houses again.
Sounds like beer 30, says Charles over here.
Well, if you don't got beer, you know where you can go. 10 Minutes Distillery, they can hook you up. That's right. Be sure to let them know that SEC Mike and Cousin Shane sent you. Not only get a discount, but you will get a bonus gift, man. I'm telling you, I went up there yesterday. I'm securing my spot at the they do a parade over in Sevier County. It kicks off at midnight, July 3rd, and it's the first parade in America. But the first stop you need to make on your way is our friends at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Thank me when you leave.
Yeah. It's a good way to celebrate America. Oh, yeah. You know what?
Nothing pairs well with fireworks than Tennessee Legend Distillery.
Hey, speaking of fireworks, I don't know if he's in here yet. He always is. Shout out our guy, Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Hope he's well. I heard him on Fine Mom the other day.
Yeah.
He said, I believe he said he bought over $400 worth of fireworks.
Dang.
Geez. So we need to find out where Jeez is shooting those bad boys and pull up. You know what?
It's funny. I think there's an age when you just can't outrun the fireworks anymore. You're like, you know what? Maybe we should watch someone else do it. That's where I'm at right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, buddy. I don't love getting the work done, but I do love presenting for the fall camp preview series.
Yes.
But I just couldn't, I didn't have another one in me this week. So
yeah,
I said, what's better than that is a friggin' SEC mailbag show.
Yeah.
So the cousins have come through, Shane, with some great questions. They can fire away with some questions in the chat as well. If you send us a donation, I guarantee it'll get answered here. Shout out. Here's one already. Shout out, Cousin Jeffrey. Appreciate you, buddy. What's up, cousins? Hey, state watching from work.
Ooh, oh, so yeah.
Let us know if you got a question, Jeffrey. Happy to answer it, but happy Absolutely. To entertain you while you try to burn that clock. You know what? We've all been there.
Mike, do this. Say one good thing right now about this upcoming season for Mississippi State. Give me some hope. Give our boy some hope as he's on the clock here.
Well, I've already got something prepared in the mailbag, but I'll give him a bonus for the donation. I think that there's probably, you know, we've talked, and basically everybody has talked about Kamario Taylor and how he's like a breakout running back. I don't think enough people, Shane, we've talked about him, but I don't think enough people talk about old Fluff Bothwell.
Yeah.
I think he's the most underrated running back in the conference. So if Kamario Taylor does what we think he can, and then they got Fluff. Now we got to keep him healthy. You know, he got a little banged up last year. But there is a world, chain in this offense with these two players that Mississippi State's got the best running back, quarterback duo in the conference. How about that?
Dude, he just clocked out. He can't stand it no more. We're so close to Friday, he said, yep, this is it. This was icing on the cake. Another fun fact, I, too, was called Fluff growing up. So
so you know all about it.
Yeah, Fluff Bagwell.
Hey, shout out. All right, so hey, we'll get to the mailbag in just a second, but I just saw this right before we hopped on, and I thought it was kind of interesting. Shout out, I believe this is Wilson Alexander. He was down at the Manning Passing Academy to talk to these quarterbacks.
Yep.
And if you're just listening back, I've got the On Three had just tweeted this out, but Trinidad was asked what games he's looking forward to the most. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't surprise anybody, but he says Louisiana State University. Lane Kiffin's at LSU now. Charlie Weiss over there now. Some of our former players on the team at LSU. It's starting to get pretty heated right now. So it's not that often, Shane, where you get actual players. You know, this used to be the way it was, you know?
Yeah.
I heard all growing up Florida fans were like, I don't respect Tennessee. Are you kidding? We don't lose to them. You got Florida and Georgia will always go back and forth. Auburn, Alabama. Now they're just, oh, we respect them. Oh, yeah. You know, it's the next game, blah, blah. No, that's how it is, but not for old Trinidad. I love that he's, and again, he's not being disrespectful.
Yeah.
He's telling us the truth. You know, this should be celebrated.
Some of that locker room talk getting out, you know, and I love that. I love it because I'm the same. I think you hit the nail on the head, man. I cannot stand the old respect game, you know. Well, that's week two. We're focused on week. No, come on. We're all grown adults here. Let's talk about it. Your coach, you know, he cheated on you. He left in the middle of the night with the baby. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to go down there, or they're going to come up here, and we're giving him a dose of why he shouldn't have left, right? Or, you know, piss on him. So I feel like this is going to be a great game. I was thinking about it earlier about which game I'm looking forward to the most. And there's a big gap between Ole Miss and LSU and all the other games. This one's going to be absolutely electric. So, yes, let's let the players talk. Let's let the coaches talk. You better damn believe Pete probably come out here media days and say something about it. I hope so, man.
Hey, shout out to Tennessee Legend. They're in the comments, hey! Shane. Watching from work too on my birthday. What?
Happy birthday.
Yeah, appreciate you, buddy. Thoughts on Shane Beamer, recent hot streak in recruiting. Do you think the level talent would still commit if Beamer was on the hot seat? Ooh, interesting question, Shane. Interesting question here. Anybody that hadn't seen it, they landed the number one cornerback in the nation, 5-star Dobson. There's another elite recruit that they're in on. I believe a 4-star about 2 or 3 days ago they got. And I think, I don't know if he's commit yet, but there's another elite player that was announcing his decision today, I believe. And Carolina's trending in that one as well. So yeah, they are red hot.
Yeah.
But what's your honest thoughts, Shane? Does that change anything with the old hot seat for old Beamer?
No. No, it doesn't. And I'm just,
it's the man's birthday. No,
I know. I gotta be real with you, brother. Recruiting is great. I love recruiting. I love, you know, landing 5-star recruits, but it's 20. I mean, we ain't even there. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you need something. I think South Carolina fans need something right now, and this is it. And we'll get behind it, whatever happens. But your old ball coach, he's got his back against the wall, and he's got to win some damn football games this year. And because at the end of the day, Mike, if they don't, these recruits are going to find another home.
Yeah, I know. You're 100% right, Shane. And again, a commitment means nothing these days.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it about a week or two ago. Ole Miss had a guy. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm shutting it down. I'm going to Ole Miss. That same day, I'm going to Colorado.
Yeah.
And then like 6 hours later, all right, I'm staying with Ole Miss. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And again, that's not every guy, but that states it pretty well of the current affair of college football recruiting. So you land a 5-star today, it means nothing until they sign.
Yeah.
And that's in December. So that a lot can happen between now and then. And also, let's say you get them to sign. I mean, I don't know that they can do it anymore where they exit after spring. I don't know. I don't believe they can. But if you fire Beamer after the bowl game, they sure can. So, and the fact also, I think it job security means, I think it means less more now than ever because you can leave every year.
Yeah.
So you could go play for a coach. And maybe I'm not talking about Beamer here. It really doesn't matter to the coach. He could be on a scorching hot seat. He could be in a you got to get it done this year or your ass is grass. I think a good player would go sign up for that because if he's fired, boom, I'm in the portal anyway. I'm going to go cash in again. So
yeah,
I don't think that the hot seat has much to do with recruiting. But I will say this, Shane, and we have highlighted this before, that I think they got an outstanding culture in Columbia.
Yep.
And we have highlighted that. We've said it repeatedly. They keep getting talent in there. And then we hear Sellers is going to Miami. Dylan Stewart, oh, LSU's going to pay him whatever they want. They just hired their defensive line coach to get Stewart. He's gone. These guys don't leave.
No.
And they haven't been winning. And I'm not naive, and I'm not saying they're doing it for free.
Yeah.
But they get paid anywhere. So they're staying because they like Beamer. They like Carolina. They like Columbia. And I think I think the results speak for Nick Harbor. He could have literally went anywhere.
Yeah.
He could be in the Olympics right now. He said, nah, I'm going to go play for Carolina. You know,
yeah.
That's how much these guys love this place. So I think that gets overlooked a lot.
And not to shit on Brian's birthday, but one last thing on a positive note, the fact that you do have these recruits, and if Shane Beamer and company take off and have a successful season, that's when you're going to see that success on the recruiting trail get amplified because they're like, hey, if he's going and they're winning, we're going to build something special here. And then you know how Beamer is. He gets them on the boat. They ain't leaving. So, I feel like it was a great at South. There's great things happening in Columbia. I love the renovations. I love they're moving in the right direction, Mike. But at the end, I mean, I've already said it three times. At the end of the day, it comes down to win the losses, and this is a big year for Shane Beamer.
Oh yeah. All right. So you ready, Shane, to dive into the mailbag?
Yes, sir.
20 minutes in. All right. Shout out War Eagle TI. Appreciate you. Official cousin. Official cousins always get their question answered. I'm just ready for the chaos to unfold this year, he says. But who would be your dark horse for the SEC to emerge from the bottom? And who could fall from the top? So let's address one at a time here. A dark horse from the bottom that could finish kind of in the upper tier there.
I say from the bottom, and how would you justify the bottom? Like, what is
right above your head, Shane? That's who was the bottom last year. Above my head is the winners. So,
okay.
That's kind of how here.
All right.
It's only been 7 months. It's been sitting up here.
Yeah, but I didn't know if it was like off, you know, what they're ranked coming into the season or something like that. Okay. Because I would think a true dark horse, like easy answer, LSU. Right.
Yeah.
Would be the dark horse, a team that had a lot of failure last year. But with Lane Kiffin and this program, I really think that they're going to bounce back and be in, you know, playoff contention. But I wouldn't
consider that a true dark horse, though.
No, I don't consider a dark horse. I would say anything right of or left or whichever way you're. I say Kentucky down.
Well, we got audio listeners as well, Shane. So maybe shout out the teams. So,
Kentucky, Florida, Auburn, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Arkansas. Who's the dark horse there? You know, Mike, I think I'm going to go with your Florida Gators here. I don't know if it was because of that fantastic preview you put together, but I'm enamored by this defense. I feel like this is arguably one of the best wide receiver rooms. God forbid they, I mean, running back ball. I mean, this, they've got the pieces in place to be, you know, maybe not win a championship, but definitely make people's lives miserable. So I'm going to go Florida Gators here. Dark horse.
You ever heard of old Jekyll and Hyde, Shane?
Yeah.
That's you.
Is it?
Because I can't get a read on you, man. One day you hate a team.
No.
I'm surprised you didn't say Auburn after you just bagged them the other day, but I don't dislike that selection. I think that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But I told you I was sitting on Mississippi State, Shane. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's all these damn crazy fans in my mentions every day, but say we don't give them enough respect. Maybe they're right, Shane, because they got an explosive offense.
Yeah.
They finally have a quality defensive coordinator. And they got maybe the best corner in Jones in the Southeastern Conference. We talked about Fluff Bothwell already. We talked about Kamario Taylor. I mean, there's things to like. And this is kind of the natural progression, usually, when a coach takes over. You suck year one. Year two, you know, you're competitive, but you just can't quite close that gap. And then year three, you take off.
Yeah.
So this could be the takeoff year for old Mississippi State. And again, I'm not saying going to playoff or anything, but I think their fan base would be pretty ecstatic with like an 8-4 type. I think they would feel confident that they got the right coach.
Great answer. Great answer, Mike.
Now, would you also consider, I got one more. I don't know if they're a true dark horse. And they're kind of hyped up every offseason. Shout out Brian here. Carolina, come on down, Chain. If we could just have something on offense, if we could just protect Sellers, Nick Harbor continues to progress. We got Sellers' younger brother now merging at receiver. They still got Mazio Bennett, who was really good as a freshman. He was kind of a no-show sophomore, but maybe his junior year he breaks out. All of a sudden, we got a trio of weapons. I don't know. I just think Carolina...
Isn't it?
Such a, I mean, I could see Carolina winning 9 games. I could see him winning 3, you know, but yeah. So I'm not as confident on this one, but I just think they have the pieces to be a thorn in everybody's side they play, short of maybe Georgia, maybe Oklahoma. Those are the only two you could tell me they won't win.
Yeah. And you know, I keep looking at last season as a one-off is kind of the way I'm trying to look at it. But I don't know. There's a part of me that still believes in Lenore Sellers. There's a part of me that says, you know, if he had time, he could do special things. And with this new offense that they're going to be running, I feel like they're going to be night and day different than they were last season. And that's something to be excited about. And you better believe they've catered this thing around him to make sure they get the most out of Sellers. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. Because there's some games, and we've done it with these previews, that we're just saying, okay, South Carolina, that's a win. South Carolina's – but truly, if Lenores comes out like what his maximum ceiling is, brother, there's a lot of very winnable games for South Carolina that we've had penciled in as a loss. So, could be a big season for them as well.
And I just said all those things, those nice things. I didn't even mention Dylan Stewart. I mean,
yeah.
At times he's like unblockable. Mm-hmm. What could that do for their defense? Now he's been banged up. So again, there's a lot of what ifs here, right? If this happens, if that happens, if this happens, but we can make that case for everybody. I'm just saying Carolina belongs in the discussion of if things break right, they could do really, really well. But Shade, you know who's not underrated?
Who's that?
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. Roll
Tide.
It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Stephen Up ain't underrated because he's a legend already, Shade. So he's just legendary status in my opinion. Don't have a question. Just glad to be back. Watch the playback and y'all did a good job. Thank you, Stephen Up.
Thank you, cuz.
All right. Make sure I didn't miss any other ones. All right. How about... Oh, yeah. And he also said, so who could be from the top that kind of falls back? Now, we've asked this a lot, and we've kind of easy answer Vanderbilt. So let's take him off the table. Anybody else?
Texas A&M.
Oh.
Yeah. Just, I mean, dude, they started out 10-0. I mean, are they going to do that? 11-0. Yeah. Are they going to do that this year? No, I don't think that happens. So I feel like you'll naturally consider it.
So you're saying they're starting 12-0?
No. No, 10-1. So, yeah, down year for Texas A&M. So, again, we're looking at where the bar is set to where it's going. So, yeah, I feel like that's going to be one just because the schedule's pretty dang tough, especially those first 10 games. So.
So in a down year, they could still make the playoff, though, technically, right?
Oh, I mean, think about where you're at, right? A 10-win team, you're still in. So, yes, I think this was also an easy answer like Vanderbilt.
Okay. Well, I don't think so. I think you missed it, Shane.
Oh.
Sorry, Stephen. Up, it's Bama. Come on, I'm down on the Tide. Probably means they're going to win the national championship, but I just think they got too many questions. Shane, offensive line, running back. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the depth at receiver. Don't even know who their quarterback is going to be. I'm sure they'll probably have a very successful passing attack though, because the track record of DeBoering and Ryan Grubb. They get it done with the passers. So I'm not really doubting them so much, but I don't know, Shane. I think that's going to be one of the storylines in the conference this year where Bama fans are just like, can you believe we gave this guy a massive what in the hell were we thinking, you know?
Exactly. But I don't know, man. Steven's got him as the second best coach, I found out today. Yeah, you jump on Paul Feinbaum and you have to tell the country or tell Alabama why their quarterback or their coach is not in the second spot.
Hey, then he's got one more. It was a long question, but I do appreciate it. Not a question, but so here's his. He's got a bold take, Shane.
Yeah.
He says every Tiger in the SEC is going 8-4. So Auburn, LSU, Missouri. I mean, that's not totally unrealistic.
Which one is most unrealistic, in your opinion?
Probably Auburn, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
To go 8-4. Again, I said best case, they could go 8-4 on our preview yesterday. Go check it out when this is done. LSU, I mean, the number is 8.5. So I don't think that's totally unrealistic. I think that'd be disappointing, but I don't think that's totally unrealistic. And then Missouri, I mean, I think 8-4 is very doable for them.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm looking at it's not easy. It's not going to be an easy road. That's why they're over under so low. But yeah, I do think it's very feasible that all of them, if our power ranking, which one's most likely to least likely though, I'd say LSU, Mizzou, and then Auburn, if I was going that order.
Oh, let's do the Shane 1-10 scale though.
Yeah.
1-10 that they all go 8-4, Auburn, LSU, Missouri. Scale of 1-10.
3.8.
It's fascinating to watch math go on in your head in real time.
Yeah. I honestly went up and then I thought about the scheduling and stuff and I brought it back down. So I was looking at 4.4, but I brought down a 3.8 just to be safe.
I think that's fair. All right. Hey, I think you'll like this one, Shane. Shout out cousin Eric Engelbretson. Hopefully I didn't butcher that. He's an official cousin. Official cousins always get their questions answered. Help settle a disagreement between me and my son here. We both live and die with the Ole Miss Rebels. I live in Tennessee, and my family have graduated from the University of Tennessee, so I support UT pretty hard as my second team. My son says there's no such thing as a second team to support. It makes me less of an Ole Miss fan. Who is right?
Damn, Mike. That's not fair because I'm a diehard Tennessee fan, but I support SEC teams. Right. So I get it. I understand it. It's kind of like that Manning conundrum that you're seeing here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but family's family, right? And I mean, even Peyton Manning said it the other day, you got to go with your family. So I feel like you got to have a team. I feel like that's your team. You just hate that one a little less. Maybe Charles not says, like it, but hate them.
Charles says, leave your family. No, I think there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that makes sense.
As I go further and further into this, you know, there's teams I like and
yeah,
like Oklahoma and A&M, and I really like players too.
Yeah,
there's teams I'm not big fans of, but I like the players. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I think there's no right or wrong way to do it.
I don't like the house divided thing though. Like you're like completely 50-50. I feel like that's just fake because then it's like the old school. Well, I'm a New England Patriot fan. I'm a New York Yankee fan. You know, it's like, dude, you live in Georgia, you know? So what are you talking about?
You also like the Lakers and the Braves.
Yeah, the Lakers. Yeah. Exactly. Don't be that guy. But I feel like you have a team and then you have the one you kind of, because I do that. I call it my foster team, right? So every year I love my Vols, but then there's like one, maybe two that's like, I'm fostering this season. I'm hoping that they do well.
Hey, shout out, Jeez. Appreciate it. Happy 4th. Be safe. Anyone got any big plans? I don't know if you heard it, Jeez, but we've been discussing your $400 fireworks. So
we're going to your house.
Yeah, that's the plan, is to show up at your crib.
Yeah, nope. Big plan. Just like I said, we're going to do the parade and then going over to my sister and brother-in-law's tomorrow. He loves fireworks. He said he's addicted. And you know what? I feed that addiction as I'm feeding my face eating that barbecue he's about to make for us too.
Heck yeah. All right, Cousin D. Oh, okay. So this was like, we've done something, Shane.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to an Arkansas preview or anything, but I had many people ask the same version of this question. So let's do two of these. I'm going to kind of rope these together. Shout out Cousin Neil, official cousin. Please compare this three-way rivalry. Golish, Alex Golish, 0-2 versus Summerall.
Yeah.
Summerall, 0-3 versus Silver Fox. Summerall is 1-4. Summerall's 1-4 now, he says, versus Silverfield. That makes Silver Fox 7-1 in those matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Please break it down. And then J-Rod, when are we going to stop saying Golish is a better coach when he's 0-3 against my head coach and has been very mid the last three seasons? So basically these Hog fans, Shane.
Yeah.
And I remember it. They hated this hire. But now they're all in, right? Because it's their guy, it's football time. I get it. They want to support their man here. But basically, the way I'm summing it up is this man underrated? And are we doing a disservice to a guy that has won a bunch of games at Memphis? And for some reason, everybody else is higher on Golish.
Yeah.
Even though I thought he did a really good job. And then Summerall, who... I mean, I don't know how you can't be impressed with Summerall, but again, I get it. If you're a Razorback fan, Silverfield's the best. Is he underrated?
Possibly, right? Look at them squinty eyes. I love this guy. Honestly, what it is, I didn't like the guy after the Arkansas game. That's what it was. You know, maybe just you ever meet somebody, first impression. You shake their hands. You're like, you know what? I really don't like this person, you know? And I felt that after Arkansas squandered that game against them. So maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just carrying a little bit of that hate from our first meeting. And maybe, Mike, when we're down here at Media Days, old Silver Fox will come over the table and he can win me over. Because you know me, Mike. All it takes is one little coach sit down, then all of a sudden I'm in your camp for life. So I loved your last one, and maybe that's it. You're replacing you're replacing my boy, you know?
And yeah, is there anything to it, though, that, you know, again, that his record's a little bit better head-to-head against these other guys and why he doesn't get the benefit of that? Is it just because he's at Arkansas? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, I'm torn, right? Because now I'm thinking about the teams, like which one would I want to coach at? But
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. There was times Memphis was elite, right? Especially in their division. So, maybe it is. All right. You got me. Maybe I need to take a new look at this thing and give Silverfield an opportunity, Mike.
Yeah, perhaps you do, Shane, but there's two sides to every coin, right?
Yeah.
So again, he did well against, he was undefeated against a guy named Eric Morris, who a lot of Arkansas fans wanted. He's the guy that went to Oklahoma State, and he brought his pretty touted quarterback and a lot of their players. So it's basically just It's what Golish did to USF to Auburn is what this guy's doing at Oklahoma State now. So, again, never had a losing season. He was beating all these really good coaches. But, Shane, but Memphis was pretty good when he took it over. I looked it back. I looked up the records here. The 3 years before Silver Fox got there, Memphis was 10-3, 8-6, and then 12-2. So we're averaging about 10 wins. Yeah, 10 wins for 3 years, right?
Right.
As soon as he got there, 8-3, which is good. 6-6, 7-6. So they took a step backward when he got there. Now, they did win some games and got better. But the way I hear it, Shane, this was the most financed program in that conference.
Yeah.
And it's sure is fun to say, well, Summerall couldn't beat him or Golish couldn't beat all this. How many conference titles did he win, Shane?
Zero.
And John Summerall was there for 2 years and won the conference. You know what I mean? So I'd rather have a guy that is less funded that's won a conference championship and took a team to the college football playoff in 2 years than someone who couldn't do it in six. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
I'm not saying these guys are – I pray that all these guys are – we need good coaching, Shane. Coaching's been poor in the SEC, and the league's going to be so much better if all three of these guys hit. Now, is that realistic? Probably not, but I'm rooting for all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought about it. I'm not – maybe I am. I have a tendency to do that, right? I find a couple that I'm rooting on here, especially new coaches, and I feel bad now. I feel bad because Arkansas fans deserve great football. I mean, when I hear conversations about them leaving the conference from media personalities – then I'm like, we need something special over here. And maybe Silverfield's the guy, because every now and then out of a group, one or two are going to hit. And it's easy to say, well, this is going to happen because of what he was able to do in the 6 months since he's took the job. But what does that look like next year? What does that look like the year after? You know, does the progression kick in? So as on the opposite side of the Memphis scenario where the bar set, was it Norvell before him, right? So after this one, the bar is pretty low, right? I would think it may be easier to lift that thing while he's there. So yeah, I'm going to give Silverfield a chance. And again, I hope he comes by and hangs out with us for a little bit.
All right. One more Silver Fox question. Again, I told you there was a bunch of them.
Oh, buddy.
And I love this name, John Pork. What does old Silver Fox need to do this year, Shane, to show you he's the man to turn the hogs around?
Win early. And I would love to see this Utah game. I feel like this September 12th matchup. I mean, Georgia, I mean, we're already bitching about the time and the schedule and all this stuff, but don't go out there, beat the shit out of Utah. Then all of a sudden we're like, hey, we got something here. Yeah. We're not expecting to win nine games, but Utah's a game we're not expecting you to win. And if you can do that early in your tenure, I feel like that changes the narrative of Arkansas moving forward.
Yeah, and I don't think it's too much to ask, Shane, to – I mean, this is asking a lot, right? But I'm counting up here, 3-7 – to have a winning record at home. Now, again, that's asking a lot because you got 7 home games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking you to win 4 of them. 2 of them, Purple Lions, Tulsa. I mean, that's easy, right?
But
again, is it asking a lot to win 2 of 5 remaining home games? I mean, I don't think so.
Right.
I mean, that's bare minimum what we should be doing. And it, again, bare minimum kind of is the bar right now because it's a first-year coach and he's taking over a tough situation. But I think that's what we need to be demanding is – we got to make this a hellacious place to play a football game where opponents fear it. And it's not on the fans to deliver that. You got to deliver it first before the fans, you can ask them to pay all their hard earned money and show up each and every Saturday. You got to give them a reason to believe.
Yeah. I always like those lists that come out 10 toughest places to play and yada, yada, yada. And yes, some of that's decibels, right? Some of that's crowd noise and attendance, but a big part of it is just winning. Yeah. If you can go there and you're the opponent walks away with an L, that makes that an intimidating place to play. So yeah, I feel like that's a big part of it.
Hey-o, shout out Paul Tucker. Thanks for commercial free show. Yeah. Thank you for showing up, buddy.
And this is brought to you by Tennessee Legend Distillery.
Okay. How about a good question here, Shane? From the Vol Fanatic Show. This your burner? Is this your burner, Shane? Vol Fanatic Show. Who is the most overrated quarterback in the SEC this year, and why is it Sam Leavitt? So again, that's his question, but let's remove the Sam Leavitt, unless you think he is. Is there anybody come to mind most overrated quarterback in the conference?
I mean, I'm not upset with that answer. Sam Leavitt could be the ultimate bust. It reminds me a lot of that that Georgia USC guy. What's his name? I can't remember his
JT
name.
JT Daniel.
Yeah. You know, just the bar set high. This guy's going to come in. He's going to elevate this program, take us to the next level, and a backup starts. Ends up winning a national title with him. So, yeah, I feel like that may be the one, especially with all the – because it wasn't so long ago, all the offseason drama and the Lane Kiffin at the airports and stuff like that and at the sporting events. They made this guy a celebrity, and I feel like that bar is set pretty high. And if Sam comes out – it doesn't come out. I mean, let's don't forget he was injured. I feel like this is one that could also fall in his face as well.
Well, let me ask you, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, what is the question? The question is overrated. So I like these guys, and we've already praised one of them. But could the answer be Sellers? Again, because he's pretty highly rated.
Yeah.
He is. He's been excellent at times. He has been pretty average at times. So I would consider him and then one other. Any idea who I'm going with here? A quarterback that you know that I like, but he may truly be overrated.
And that
he does arm workouts.
Yeah, I was thinking. I wasn't going to say it, but John Mateer, that's a good one.
I mean, that's fair, right?
Yeah.
And again, don't take this as me bashing these guys, but that was the question. Who's overrated? Could be Mateer, could be Sellers, could be Leavitt. I don't know. But if my money would be on those two, because I think they could both deliver. But again, if he gets protection, if he has receivers emerge, the running game, if the new coordinator, if Mr. DoorDash gets his head out of his ass, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of what ifs here.
Yeah.
What if those things don't happen? I think those guys are not going to be good if things don't change.
That's a good point, man. I never noticed that, but there is a lot of that talk. And also with Lenoris, right? We did it. We just did it a minute ago. If he can get protection, you know, if Kendall Browse is like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen for him to be considered an elite quarterback, then maybe he's not an elite quarterback. So not saying he's not, but the bar's pretty high. Now we got workout videos coming out and the gun show. So yeah, he's going to be the second most, I would say, known quarterback at media days, right? Him and Arch is going to, these two guys, we're going to go back and forth with.
Yeah.
Well, would you say that? Let's just say popularity contest, right? Arch be number one. Would you have Trinidad number two, or would you have, it would have to be him, right?
I think so. And again, I'm not basing it on who's better or anything like that.
No. Just notoriety.
More popular.
Yeah.
I would throw him up there. And I would perhaps even, I know this might sound crazy, but.
Gunner?
Byron Brown, Auburn. I think when people get their, I'm telling you, Shane, you're going to mark my words, because you're going to be like, Mike, that's not a defensive lineman? No, sir, that's a quarterback right there. You know, so just mark my words. He's a transfer. They don't always take transfers.
Yeah.
They're taking him because he's going to be that big of a deal. So. But yeah, I think it's obviously it's a huge drop off after Arch.
Yeah.
And then I think it would be Mateer.
Yeah, I'd go that Mateer. Let's do top five real quick since
Marcel Reed. I would throw him in that conversation. Reed
maybe at the five spot. I really do think number three would be Trinidad. And then number four, I would go Gunner. That's the kind of just popular. Yeah.
Maybe Sellers too.
Sellers is flirting with it. Yeah. Great.
Speaking of flirting,
huh?
Popeye's Knuckles got a question. Hey, cousins, you guys help me through the dog days every year. Thank you. Is it true? John Mateer spent the offseason with Josh Allen working out on his biometrics and throwing motions and seeing the field better. Appreciate the question, Popeye's Knuckles. Not technically true. A really good article. I highly recommend all Sooner fans go check it out. Of Sooner Scoop, George Stoya. He's been on the show. He does a hell of a job. He did a big write-up on all this. But he got Popeye's Knuckles got most of that right. It's just it wasn't Josh Allen. It was Josh Allen's like trainer, quarterback guy. So you basically nailed it, but he just wasn't Josh Allen. It was a guy that trains Josh Allen. So I think that's another positive sign that that's a wild thing about these guys getting paid, and now they have access to travel all over the country and they can pay the best people in the world to train them. I mean, he's using his money wisely to improve his game. You know what?
Well, I mean, you're a machine. You are an absolute machine. I go back. There was maybe it wasn't a documentary. Maybe it was Hard Knocks. Romanowski, I'll never forget, where he was talking about spending like tens of thousands of dollars every month for supplements, you know, and I'm just thinking about these kids that really buy in that, you know, because you could go out, you get you a hot car, you can get you a cool apartment or something like that. But there's some kids that are taking this NIL money and they are just putting it right back they're investing into themselves. And I feel like those are the guys that are ultimately playing on Sundays, you know. So I love hearing stuff like that. And I've seen videos. Unfortunately, it's just highlights. So, you know, you don't see the balls that go over the wide receivers. You just see the perfect spirals. But I'm hearing a lot that he looks a million times better than he did this time last year.
Right. Hey, shout out Cheese, the fireworks. He said the fireworks are early, Shay.
Oh, get me a black cat after this one.
Appreciate you, Cheese.
Thank you, brother.
And that's a perfect segue to the last question. I got a short mailbag here, Shay, but Moss's Felix, he wants to know, why is everybody drinking the Kool-Aid for Tennessee this year? And we know Jesus is a Tennessee guy, but that's an interesting question because I don't know who in the hell's drinking the Kool-Aid for Tennessee. I know we've been high on them. Steven is decently high, but the over-under 7.5, and all I hear is Heupel's on the hot seat. They don't got a quarterback. The program's falling. Our pets' heads are falling off. That's all I hear. I don't know. Where are we getting this? Everybody drinking the Kool-Aid.
I don't know. I do it every year, but that's expected, right? I mean, I'm getting pumped up about Adidas commercials with Peyton Manning. So it doesn't take much to get me excited about them Vols, but even Paul, I was asked about this and I told him 8 and he kind of made fun of me and bullied me into 9. And I'm like, you know what? I can now see it. I could see a 9-3 Tennessee. So yeah, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid because it's more for me, it's the process, right? I don't necessarily trust all the ingredients of this recipe, but I have a feeling the chef Josh Heupel is going to produce a pretty nice meal here. And it may be 9 wins. It could be 10. That wouldn't blow my mind. That's the thing. Would 10 wins blow my mind? No. But I don't see them taking a step back either. I don't see this as a 6-win Tennessee either.
And it's so funny, Shane, how we just like, we're like prisoners of the moment.
Yeah.
Remember when the whole Nico thing fell out? There was, you know, everybody was like, proud of Josh Heupel. Say it. We have to put a stop to this, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, they also said, they're probably not going to be very good, right? And then they come out here and they play, should have beat Georgia, which was like number one in the country. And then everybody's like, damn, Josh Heupel could coach. He could coach. He got a guy off the street. You know, they took Georgia to the wire. And then it was like, oh, they went 8-4. I mean, can this guy even coach a lick? You know, like what happened to the quarterback who the whole program's centered around? Yeah. Left in the right after spring training. I mean, let's put that into perspective. And also, again, we can make excuses for everybody, right? But their highest paid and best defensive player, All American corner, who was a first round pick, they kept saying over and over, he didn't even take a snap because he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
Then their second corner got hurt in the opener. He's out for the year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course, the defense fell apart. You know what I mean? How many of these teams, if they lost both their corners and one of them was All-American, would be able to, short of Georgia, maybe Alabama, I don't think anybody else is coming back from that. So, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons why Tennessee took a step back last year. But the fact they won 8 games, given the issues they had, that gives me belief in Josh Heupel.
Yeah.
And then he took a damn hard look in the mirror and fired the defensive coordinator and fired the strength coach that he's been with forever to get the best strength coach in the country. So I think he's made the necessary changes. And I think they got all the tools around the quarterback. Yes, quarterback is a huge unknown, but all they do is rotate first-year quarterbacks under Josh Heupel every single year since Shane's favorite year, Hendon Hooker, left. Every year it's been a new quarterback.
Yeah.
And they've not missed a beat. So,
right.
And I think this is more talent than they've ever had around the quarterback in Knoxville. So,
yeah.
I don't know. All those reasons. And hell, they're spending damn near $3 million on a defensive coordinator. Let's just throw that in there too, Shane. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to believe in Tennessee this year.
Yeah. Hell, they're giving kids money to not even play at Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? That's how much they want. They want to win, Mike. So I'm right there with you. I think the talent's key. You know, especially when you're talking about quarterback, because I do love this offensive line. You know, I love this running game. I feel like, yeah, Tennessee may not be deep with the receiver core, but you know, those three that are out there are pretty damn strong and probably going to be out there 90% of the game anyway. So I feel pretty good about this offense. It's the defense, but I don't know. I'm just a believer. And maybe because the defense struggled so much last year that I'm just convinced it's going to be better this season. The schedule will be tougher, but, you know, the tough games that you do have, a lot of those are going to be at home. And crazy things happen when you're in Neyland Stadium, man.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I forgot one more. I do this every time.
Yeah,
I missed a question, but I want to shout out all these outstanding cousins, Shane.
Yeah.
We had G's with a very generous donation. Then we had JP.
Thank you, cuz.
Batir also spent some time off season working with Sam Bradford, excuse me, Oklahoma legend. So there you go. And then Steve.
Thank you, brother.
Always I'm going back to the Pancake Pantry. Boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Appreciate you, Stephen Up. He says, inspired by G's. Come on, cousins. And then P5.
Oh, gives thank us 50, you, P.
Trying to run with G's and Stephen Up. And then Stephen Up one more time.
Oh, thank you, cuz.
Always showing up for them Roll boys Tide. In Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
$20 just to say hey to Emily. So there you go. What's up, Emily?
I haven't heard much from her. Is it? I figured the Auburn thing would she would have been in there.
I think she did not appreciate your Auburn discussions. Come on.
I think deep down inside, she knows that I don't need to be pulling for this one.
So here's a question I forgot. And hell, I put it in the title. I do this every time. I put it in the title and then I forget to ask it. But somebody asked us, let me get his name here. Dave Wallace.
Yeah.
From the office, I believe. Oh, when it comes to SEC coaches, Shane, who would you most want to have a beer with or some of that Tennessee legend?
I thought about this earlier because 4th of July barbecuing and stuff. It's like, who do I want to have barbecue with, you know? And a part of me goes straight to the big boys. Because I know they have a good time. Yeah. They like to live on the edge, right? They'll be good, two or three days, but then on the weekend we may get a little rowdy. So
I mean, a couple of them are sober these days, so we don't want to throw them into the mix necessarily, you know.
Well, Elko is one that I'm considering just because he surrounded himself with all this wonderful barbecue down there in Texas. I know he knows the spots, so I think we'd have a great time. The only thing is, he's super smart, right? And I get nervous around smart people. You know me, Mike. So I think he may be a little too much. So that's why I went with my backup, my boy Josh Heupel. He's fighting it, right? He's ebbs and flows. He looks healthy one day. He's found some good barbecue another. So I think Josh Heupel would be a pretty fun one to hang out with as well. I know he doesn't seem like it, but behind the scenes, he's funny as hell.
Give me a King Kirby. I know he'd be a good time. He'd have some great stories to share. It'd be probably nothing but Nick Saban stories and how we used to yell at him and stuff, you know?
I'd put John Summerall in the camp. He's just a good old boy, and he'd probably outdrink us all, you know what I'm saying? And I think he would be a fun one. And I would probably say Pete's another one, you know, and he gets. Pete talks some shit. You know he does, man. He probably gets going and he starts ragging on somebody. That would be another one. And then I think I do have a sleeper. Who would be like the one you wouldn't think of, but you'd probably put in that list? Maybe.
What about actually, Jeff Lebby?
Can we get off head coaches for a second?
Coach
can
O?
Can we still assistant coach? Because I'd like to get Coach O again, ask him about all his plastic work being done, you know, tell him he needs to tap the brakes, man. And then I'd also like to get with Muschamp. Muschamp's I didn't like him when he was at Florida. Sometimes he pissed me off when he was in South Carolina. But the dude is an absolute gem to be around. So that's another one I'd put on the list.
Hey, appreciate you, Chase Moore. Can't wait till kickoff at the zoo. Seeing Austin in black and gold. Once we'll have me betting my life savings on 12-0 MIC.
Thank you, cuz.
Appreciate you, Chase. Yeah, so I think those are some fine selections, Shane. But let me ask you, because we didn't get any food questions. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
Let's your top three. Can be anything. Can be sides. Can be meat. Can be drinks.
Yes.
What are you most looking forward to this 4th of July weekend?
I'm a traditionalist. I'm a hamburger hot dog type guy 4th of July. But
shocker.
It pairs well with my favorite beans, the ones I'm going to be making. And that's a quick recap of that. It's going to be beans, bacon, spicy sausage, and hamburger. So it's basically a protein meal. And then potato salad.
We call that a Cousin Shane protein.
Yeah, protein bowl. That's a fancy word for it. And then I love me a good potato salad. But nothing. Here's the thing. Some people like the celery and stuff. I get that out of there. That's the only thing. Sometimes it gets a little too green for me. So, but a good potato salad.
Emily's asking the million-dollar question.
Yeah, she saw. So on the fat video on my fat page, I went to the pancake pantry and everybody's like, you did walk after, right? Stephen Up did. I know he's like, yes, I did. And yes, I am. I'm doing good. I'm down 66 pounds. I've been telling Mike I've been stuck and I didn't want to weigh, but I felt pretty light this morning. I lost another 2 pounds. So it's slowly. It's kind of, I'm not plateauing, but it's now we're getting to the grind. So.
Well, hey, I know we're all proud of you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Oh, shout out JP. You guys are heading to South Florida for SEC Media Days. Any Southern Florida foods you're going to try? Maybe a Cuban sandwich.
So Mike is – I talked to Paul about this. Mike's got list. He, like, does research. This is his baby. He'll spend 3, 4, 5 days YouTubing, Yelping, getting on. I guarantee you.
How do you know how much time I spend doing this?
Yeah, because and then you don't eat, you know. And then you go, and you're like, you want? Like, do you like it? I'm stuffing my fat ass over here, you know. But it's delicious. But yeah, Mike is going to be the one that's picking the food locations for sure.
Yeah, we'll be eating good down there. That's for sure. But hey, so that's all we got, buddy. Yeah. Want to wish all the cousins a happy 4th of July. Be safe. Have you some fun. Hang out with some friends and family. Anything else before we hop off here?
Yeah, if you need any bail money, give me a call, you know. Now, just be safe. Don't hold them fireworks. Don't, you know, I always think of JPP, you know, when 4th of July comes around. Don't be that guy. We're not that guy. So have fun, but be safe. Drink some cold beer for us, and look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll catch you next week.
All right. See you guys.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.